Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you, meet you. I know a small number of you. I've never been here before, so it's a pleasure to get to know this church a little bit better and get to know you. I'd be very happy to talk with you individually after the service as well. And if you want chat any other time, I'm always happy to do so. But I'd like to start by telling you a story of a man called Roland, Roland Bingham. He was born in the late 19th century, so about 150 years ago. And he was born in England, but his family was, and he became a Christian, but his family was not very committed. They would identify as being Christian, but nothing more than that. They would occasionally go to the local Anglican church, but being a Christian didn't mean much. However, Roland, at about the age of 15, discovered Christ and gave his life to God. This led him to leaving England and going to Canada, where he worked and started to, and then was invited by a pastor to become his assistant. When he was this pastor's assistant, a woman in her 50s asked to meet him and said to him when they met, "My son has just left to go to England to find an organization because nobody here in North America is willing to send him as a missionary to the Sudan." The Sudan is what we would today call the Sahel region of Africa. It's just below the Sahara Desert, goes from Senegal all the way through to Ethiopia. And this region, she said, has tens of millions of people where there are no Christians. And Roland was challenged by this. For him, the idea of somebody going to a place which had a reputation as being the white man's graveyard, where pretty much every white person, every European, North American went, died. But yet there were no Christians. So yet there was such a need to have people go and proclaim the gospel. Roland felt convicted and left. And on the first trip that he and this woman's son and one other man went on, the other two men died, probably of malaria, as they went inland from southern Nigeria towards the Muslim north. They died like so many others before them had died. He returned. He didn't die because he fell so sick that he couldn't make any more progress and returned to Canada. He persevered, and inspiring others and the mother of the man who had died also, they sent many more people. And in the following 50 years, missionaries were sent across this Sudan region, and a church planting effort started, which resulted in at least one denomination having multiple, in fact, there are two denominations, one in Nigeria, one in Ethiopia, that have multiple tens of millions of Christians today. So on the basis of their faith, these, and on the death and sacrifice of many tens, if not hundreds of missionaries, there are now millions of Christians in Nigeria, in Ethiopia, and many other countries in what is today sub-Saharan Africa. Let us read a passage from Hebrews. I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I'd like to start by giving a little bit of context to this letter to the Hebrews. We don't know the author of this letter. There have been lots of theories presented. But what is clear is that it was written to people who had a familiarity with the Old Testament and goes through a series of comparisons between Jesus and some significant Old Testament figures. The first one's angels, and then Moses, then Aaron, then Melchizedek. And it reminds us that Christ is superior to all of these, and Hebrews calls us to faith in Christ and through that faith, a new life. Then in chapter 11, we have this series of presentations of people who by faith lived and yet did not see what they were going to, what God was promising immediately. And I'd like to read verse 1 just to give us a definition of what this faith is. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So when we say by faith in verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now, I know it is actually quite possible for us to read this passage and apply it to our lives here in Brussels. But I come from a missionary context where I served in Chad as a missionary in the eastern part of the country where there are very, very few Christians. And so when I read this passage, I have a missionary reading. It's been particularly meaningful to me as I prepared this sermon and to think about it as how I might live as a missionary and how I might invite you to think of being, of responding to God's call on your life in faith. And firstly, I'd like to say Abraham was called to an unknown land. He was called to an unknown land. He was called to a place that he did not know. Most of us today have the opportunity of going somewhere before we actually commit to being there. So some of you have come to Brussels and visited and then been able to say, right, I will stay here. Some of you, maybe in exploring the future that God has for you, you will go somewhere else and visit, maybe for an interview, and then return, and then make a commitment. And here we have Abraham, who is called to a place he knows nothing about, and he responds. And in reality, God has called some of you, maybe many of you, to go somewhere that you do not know, to do something that you do not know, and that by faith, you will need to step out, to leave where you are, to go to an unknown place. And then, verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land. And I found this particularly challenging. When I go somewhere, I want to settle down. I want to build my house. I want to become like the locals. And yet, Abraham went to the land of Canaan and stayed in tents. This is incredibly challenging. He lived in this promised land without it becoming his. Wait a minute, was he not promised this land? Was he not told this is where you should go? And yet, he seems to have, if we continue, verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was looking forward to something that God would establish. God would build the foundations of this city. Now, theologians over the last two millennia have discussed as to what this new city that Abraham was looking forward to might actually mean. One that is particularly popular coming out of this passage is that we are looking forward to, and we should look forward to, the heavenly city, the new creation, the new city that we will be part of as Christians in the future. And so we can take this and say, I am only a pilgrim. I am only somebody who is passing by. This is not my place. I will be here as long as God wants me to be here, but no longer. And that God is building something that we do not see. Going back to this faith question, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. When, as a missionary, I read this passage, and think, God called me to go to Chad, and I believe that he promised to give fruit to the work that I had, and yet I did not see it. The promise of the city of God that was being built in a spiritual form in eastern Chad was not fulfilled in the time that I was there. I lived as a foreigner in that country. Yes, I learnt the language. I spoke Arabic with my friends. I lived as much like them as I could. I ate with them. I dressed like them. I invested in everything I had to living in that context to share Christ, to act in faith with what God called me to do. And yet, I have to have faith that God is the designer, the architect, the builder of this inheritance that we will have. Verse 12, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham had two children. Well, it's possible he had more, but he did not have a great inheritance in his lifetime. And in reality, the fulfillment of this innumerable inheritance, these descendants, was not fulfilled until much more recently. Several thousand years later, where by faith we as Christians became part of the descendants of Abraham. Abraham, by faith, did not see what was promised, but acted regardless. This is an invitation to you to leave where you are, to go to an unknown country, to be part of something where you will not see the fulfillment. By faith. Many missionaries struggle for years where they share the gospel and see very little fruit, particularly working in Muslim contexts. They are called to a mission impossible, an impossible task. Bringing people to Christ is actually not possible for humans. And yet, they are called to act like it is. In obedience, we read in verse 11, By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, initially, Sarah actually laughed, didn't she? That's why Isaac is called Isaac. Isaac means she laughed. Laughing. Ha! Me? My age? It's not possible. And yet, God accomplished something that was possible. And in this case, Sarah was blessed in seeing the fruit of her faith. We are called to a task of giving birth to people who've come to Christ, sharing faith with others, sharing our faith with people who do not know him, and seeing them come to Christ occasionally. One of my missionary friends in Chad had spent more than 10 years faithfully witnessing to many people. It's a lovely lady. And she, after these 10 years, was incredibly discouraged. She had shared her faith without relenting. She had shared her faith as creatively as possible, using passages, stories, using different forms of technology. And yet, she had seen nobody come to faith. And then, one woman in our town, which was a completely different part of Chad, came to faith. And she told me, over the last 20 years, a series of people shared their faith with me. They talked to me about Jesus. And I cursed every single one to their faces. I told them, you're liars. You believe in falsehoods. You will not convince me. And then she came to faith through somebody challenging her after 20 years of faithful witness by several different people. And guess what? That friend of mine, that missionary friend of mine, had shared her faith with this woman 5 years earlier. 5 years earlier, my friend had given an audio Bible to this woman. This woman had lost it. But something had remained of the Bible in her mind. And this gave fruit years later. This fruit has actually continued. This woman has shared her faith with others, and others have become Christians. Can you imagine that if my friend had abandoned her sharing of the faith without seeing any fruit, what would have happened to all of those people that have now come to faith through this woman? My friend has now been able to rejoice as Sarah rejoiced in having a child, because she knows one person has come to Christ through her sharing of the gospel. She now can persevere for years to come, knowing that her faith was not in vain. Sometimes God, always, God is merciful and gracious, like he was to Sarah, who initially doubted, who initially laughed in the promise of God. I invite you to take up this impossible task, even if your first reaction is laughing, this is not for me, this, or even discouragement. You have tried to share your faith with others in the past and nothing seems to have come of it. Have faith that God is the designer and builder of this heavenly city. This heavenly city, which is not just a physical thing, but is made up of people, thousands of people, who will be connected to us through our faithfulness in sharing the good news of Jesus. Let us continue. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. These people who are listed in the initial stages, or in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and particularly Abraham and Sarah, they died in faith, not having seen the full fulfillment of the promise that God had made. The friends of Roland Bingham died in Nigeria without having seen anyone come to Christ. Their desire to go into the inland of Africa almost died entirely. And today, in modern mission organizations, we're very hesitant to go to places where there is a very high level of mortality. Very hesitant indeed. There are not many people who are willing to go to give up their life with the high likelihood of them losing it when they go to a place. It is a real challenge to us to trust God, to not see the fulfillment of what he is doing. As Christians, I would invite you to trust God, and when you doubt, to know that there are many before us who have doubted. There are many before us who have laughed like Sarah. But also that there are people who have, in obedience, in faith, have gone and have received, well, have received and gone as a response to be a foreigner with a citizenship in a heavenly homeland. They have lived in another place, like many of you are living here as foreigners, with a citizenship that is not of your homeland, but of heaven. And God is calling some of you to leave Brussels, to go to another place, not to become a citizen or return to your homeland, but to live as a foreigner. To live as a foreigner with a citizenship that is not earthly. There are many, many places in this world where there are still very few Christians. Many places where there is one or two churches in a region, where there are a small number of Christians who are living faithfully. And my invitation to you would be to join those small communities of Christians as part of a faithful witness of who Jesus is. That might be through your professional capacity. That might be through your ability to set up an organization and run it, or to join a business. But it might also be as simple as going and saying, I will sit with people. I will sit with no other identity other than being a Christian and sharing my faith. I will share my faith faithfully, without tiring, without giving up, without necessarily needing fruit to appear immediately. Because the places where there is still a great need for Christian witness, many of them are not easy to live in. They are not easy to be Christians, but they are also not easy places where there are very few people who are responding to the gospel. There are other places where there is a great response and a great openness, and we need to go to those places because God is working. I have the joy of being part of an organization where I hear stories of what God is doing in many different places. We need to be able to establish a testimony where we are in places, one place, and we tell others about what God is doing. I encourage you, living here in Brussels, to tell others what God is doing here in Brussels. Tell others what God is doing here in Belgium. And for when you go to another place, tell people here in Brussels what God is doing in those other places. This is part of bringing glory to God. This is part of being one body in Christ. Telling of what God is doing. Telling and building faith. God is fulfilling his promises in many countries. In Chad, I had the opportunity of seeing people want to respond, give their life to Christ. And if I did not tell that story, then I would be failing to worship God. I would be failing to tell the story of how great God is. As we come to an end of my time speaking with you, I'd like to conclude. We are all called to be witnesses and have faith wherever we are. But some of you, I would like to invite to an unknown land, a place that you do not know. Perhaps it will be North Africa, the Middle East. Perhaps it will be in one of the places of Africa where there are still very few Christians. Maybe perhaps it will be somewhere in India or Pakistan. Go to an unknown land. God is calling some of you to an unknown land to serve faithfully, to undertake a task that is impossible, a mission impossible. Bringing people to faith in Christ is impossible, humanly speaking. But God works through us, weak, incapable humans, to accomplish the inheritance that he has promised to us. We are called to live as a foreigner in those unknown places. Live in tents. I was reminded personally, I moved to France a year and a half ago to take on my role. And I love settling down and trying to build a community. And I'm in the process of maybe building a prayer group for our small town where we might be able to plant a church. And yet I was challenged 2 weeks ago, I feel by God, to continue to live in tents. I don't know when God will ask me to move on. I will continue to be committed 100% to reaching out to my local community as well as doing my ministry, which is encouraging French and Belgians to be involved in mission. But I must retain my citizenship and look forward to the heavenly city that God is building and he has designed. The inheritance of hundreds of thousands, maybe more, of people who will come to faith partly through my witness. And you are invited to the same. You are invited to share your faith, be part of building this great city that God is building in an unknown land. Let us pray. Lord, you are great. You are good. You are faithful. We do not see the extent of what you are doing. And yet you call us into this place of unseeing and unknowing, but a faithful response and obedient response to your call. May we here in Brussels be a witness to your faithfulness and goodness here amongst the people we interact with. May we send others to, like this mother who recruited people to join her son to go to Nigeria, eventually losing her son. May there be people here who send people into the unknown, encouraging them in faith. And may there be people from this church, many people, go out, some as professionals, some as business people, some as simple Christians, going and sharing their faith in the context that they will go, trusting you to provide a harvest. We pray that all of this would be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.